Good morning, thank you. The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. Quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the minutes from Monday, May 16, 2011?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dowd moves the minutes from Monday, May 16, 2011. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, please signify by saying no. Motion prevails. Our first agenda item for this morning, representatives, is Senate File 1308, and this is a constitutional amendment, and constitutional amendments come before our committee for two purposes. Number one is to put it before the body of the House, and number two is to debate the drafting of the piece of legislation itself. Those are the two areas of purview for the debate, and I would like to limit it, the purview of the discussion to that. That being said, I would move Representative Gottwald's bill, Senate File 1308, be passed and sent to the General Register. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, Representative Paymer.
I know, it's been a long couple days. Mr. Chair, I'm new to the Rules Committee. Would you just restate again what you said that the purpose today is to debate the drafting of the bill and what else? And there were two things that you stated, I thought.
Yes, Representative Paymar, two items of purview. This particular piece of legislation has been before the Civil Law Committee and Ways and Means Committee. And the area of purview for us, as it always is to put it before the body, number one. And then number two, the other portion of it is the actual drafting of the piece of legislation itself from looking back over other constitutional amendments. Those are the two pieces that are debated for the committee.
Mr. Chair, again, I'm new to the Rules Committee. I've been here for a long time, but I've never sat on rules. But I just would like your opinion, maybe not your opinion on something, but in looking at the rules, our actual House rules, it does say, and I see that we have a full House here, and I would suspect that some people here may want to testify either in favor or in opposition of the bill, and I understand that testimony on the policy was taken in civil law, and then I suspect any financial implications of the bill was discussed in Ways and Means, as it should be. But our rules say that the rules of the House must be observed in committee if they are applicable, and 6.22 states public testimony. Public testimony from proponents and opponents must be allowed on every bill or resolution before a standing committee, division, or subcommittee of the House. So the reason I bring this up, Mr. Chair, is that I think that one of the things that in my little amount of research that I did that about the purpose of the Rules Committee, it's not just to debate the structure or the crafting of the amendment, but especially when it comes to constitutional amendments, that a constitutional amendment is very serious. It's very grave. It's very important. It's not just a regular bill that goes to the House floor, as we all know. And so the Rules Committee is the final stop, and it's up to this body to decide whether this bill rises to that importance, and whether the contentiousness and the divisiveness that this bill will probably engender is something that we actually want not only on the House floor, but actually on the ballot in 2012. So, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to ask for your advice on this. I guess I would just, I think it's important that all these people came here this morning, that we allow testimony, and if you want to limit it to, to certain aspects of the bill, as I just framed it, not necessarily on whether you believe in same-sex marriage or not, I would move that the Rules Committee take testimony at this time And so I would make that motion, and I'd ask for a roll call.
Certainly, Representative Paymer, the Custom and Usage of the Committee is to not take testimony, as you may know. There was no testimony taken in Ways and Means. It was not. It was also posted that there would not be testimony, and there was no one that asked to testify, nor were there any calls from the public. But I would invite discussion from the committee members as to that motion.
Mr. Chair,
Representative,
it may have been that nobody signed up to take testimony because your notice said you're not going to allow testimony. That could have had something to do with the fact that people weren't going to allow testimony. So I think the rule is perfectly clear. It's unambiguous. Can we ask staff for an interpretation of the rule? Is the rule clear that says there's public testimony in standing committees and this is a standing committee?
Mr. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, you're running into a situation in which the rule and the custom and usage are at variance. And the rule clearly states that a standing committee of the House shall take testimony, and the Rules Committee is a standing committee of the House. The custom and usage on constitutional amendments has in the Rules Committee has not been not to take testimony. So, therefore, it's up to the interpretation of the members of the Rules Committee and the Chair as to how to go forward.
Well, Mr. Chair, one piece of information then. We, when the legacy amendment was coming through the Rules Committee in 07 or 08, a witness did testify, in fact, on a constitutional amendment. So there is custom and usage that witnesses actually do, the public does testify. So I don't think that there's actually a conflict in the custom and usage and the language of the rule.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair?
Representative Paymer.
If I may add, I just, this has been, in my 14 years of being in the House, I've never seen so many bills unconstitutional amendments in this legislative session, and I don't know if they're all going forward, but I guess I was thinking this would be appropriate to have discussion and some testimony. Is this the amendment that we want on the 2012 ballot? The whole issue of all these people came down here and they might want to say something about this issue. And I think in fairness to them, we should at least open it up. Maybe nobody wants to speak. I don't know. I don't have an agenda here for, them to.
Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I wasn't on the Rules Committee when Representative Thiessen said there was a constitutional amendment that had one person testify. In my years that I have served on the Rules Committee, I don't recall us having testifiers. If there's a question that the committee can't get answered infrequently, there may be a resource in the audience, typically House staff, when we're dealing with fiscal matters or House budget issues. And so I think it's, in my experience in 14 years of being here as well, the custom and usage is a discussion among the committee, but that's the purpose of the Rules Committee, is for that committee discussion, and the next step is the floor. We did have a Civil Law Committee, Civil Law Committee discussion in this very room. Both sides were given adequate time, and the committee had a fruitful discussion and deliberated both pros and cons, and the policy of this matter was brought up in the Civil Law Committee.
Representative Howes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've served on the Rules Committee for many years with both parties, and it's been my experience that on Ways and Means and on the Rules Committee that public testimony is not taken. The the custom and usage of the Rules Committee is to place bills on the general register. And that's usually what we discuss. We discuss the content of the bill sometimes in rules, but even very seldom do we do that, because our job in rules is to run the House in a proper manner, in a timely manner, and our main objective is to move bills to the general register, and that's what we've done. That's custom and usage. I served 4 years with the Democrats, and that's what they did. This has been debated in a committee already. It will be debated on the House floor. They took testimony in the previous committee. The public can have a lot of input by calling their state representative and telling them what they would like them to say on the House floor or how they would like them to vote. So, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that we go ahead and discuss the bill and why it's in Rules Committee and why we're sending it to the floor.
Thank you. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. I think, you know, it is obviously custom and usage not to hear from the public on this issue, but if the Rules Committee is debating...
It is custom and usage.
Sorry. But I think the bill we're acting on today is putting a major change into our Constitution, and the question of the content of that bill may have been discussed in other committees, but this committee has jurisdiction on whether or not we should even put something like this on our on the ballot for the people of Minnesota to vote on, and that seems like a very important question, you know, regardless of the kind of, but just this type of thing going into our having the potential to go into our Constitution is a very serious issue, and I would think it would be useful for the committee to get some insight from members of the public who've showed up today if they want to speak to us on that issue, and so I would ask that the committee does hear testimony today.
Thank you. Representative Murphy, I believe, is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. One of the primary arguments in support of this amendment is about letting Minnesotans have their say. And so I think if that is the case, then we should at least inquire to see if there are Minnesotans here who would like to testify today. Thank you.
Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, just in reference to Representative Howe's comment about custom and usage, you know, I would agree that that is the custom and usage of the committee on most calendar bills, but I don't know about that with constitutional amendments. I think in my time here, there's only been the Legacy Amendment and then the Hunt and Fish. President Pawlowski has been here longer than most of us, I think, here, but I don't know if there's been other ones. It seems to me that they come so infrequently, and obviously that this Rules Committee has to decide, is this constitutional amendment in bill form now of that level of priority and seriousness that we should bring this to the House floor? And I might add, Mr. Chair, I mean, we just went through a very long night and morning, and I can imagine what this is going to be like. And that might be fine, I mean, to have that debate is on the House floor, but I mean, I think that's what the Rules Committee should be deciding.
Representative Dowell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members. Certainly, I think something to keep in mind here too is that the meeting was noticed, and that's why these folks are here. We certainly wouldn't want to turn people away that were expecting to come here and speak, but along with that notice, we also noticed that there wouldn't be public testimony taken. So I think that the people that are here are certainly also not expecting to speak. So the other part of that to keep in mind would be that the people that didn't come here, I'm not sure it would be fair to them, because they may have looked at that notice and knowing that there was not going to be public testimony taken, didn't take the time to come here. So I think it's fair to say that the people who did see that public notice were also noticed that there would not be public testimony taken and are simply here to observe the meeting. So I think we should stick with the custom and usage of the meeting.
Representative Lilly, and then I think we'll probably be ready for a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The majority leader just a few minutes ago, or at the end of session, was kind of commenting on how the Rules Committee was run in the past, and one of those things that the Majority Leader was complaining about is that you felt muzzled, and I guess I support the PAMR effort to hear from the public, because I think this is kind of the last chance to hear from the public, and yes, we'll bring it to the floor and we'll discuss it as members, but we have an opportunity here where many of the public have, for one reason or another, showed up believing that this would be an opportunity to present their case, and I think we should respect that and use this as a opportunity, a learning moment, even though we're all a little tired, but to have one last learning moment to understand this issue and what it will mean to Minnesota.
Representative Benson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a point of information for me, being new on the committee as well. I'm just wondering whether staff could advise as to whether Robert's Rules or Mason's takes precedence over practice and usage. If there seems to be a conflict here, it seems to me that there is. Has there been any history or how do we resolve this?
To that point, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Howes.
Mr. Chairman, we resolve that by taking a vote.
Yes, also Representative Benson.
Well, I'm just asking, Mr. Chair, which takes precedence? What is the order of
according to the rules, custom and usage has precedence.
Over house rules.
That is correct.
So we have house rules for what reason?
I don't mean to be facetious, but we have conflicts all the time, and that is...
I don't know. I come from a home where you follow rules, at least from my parents. So if you write rules, it seems like you ought to follow them, but apparently I'm in error.
That is the order, Representative Benson.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Westrom.
To Representative Benson's issue, Representative Benson, about 8 hours ago, the DFL argued that custom and usage has the higher priority over Mason's on one of the point of orders on the floor, if you'll recall. I have to be in the chair.
Yeah, could you be specific? I don't remember.
Please go through the chair, and it is Representative Thiessen.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I think the confusion here is we're not talking about Mason's. We're actually talking about our house rules, which are very explicit, saying that in standing committees, public testimony is offered. And I don't actually, again, I'll come back to the fact, I don't actually think there's a conflict here, because custom and usage on May 17th, 2007, in the Rules Committee on House File 2285, which was the legacy amendment, a past president of the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance testified in the Rules Committee on a constitutional amendment.
Is that a special session?
That is the custom and usage. I mean, that establishes custom and usage. It's consistent with the unambiguous language of the rule. I just can't imagine how, under those circumstances, we would not vote to allow, unless we're afraid of hearing testimony.
And we should have a roll call, I guess.
I already asked.
Okay.
I would oppose the motion. I think that Representative Dowd's comments, the fact that it was posted as such, and also received public testimony in the Civil Law Committee, and also posted both in the Ways and Means Committee and this committee, we need to respect that. So I would oppose the motion. There is a roll call, and the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dean?
No.
Representative Doubt?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Banyan?
No.
Representative Benson?
Yes.
Representative Reinert?
Yes.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Hoppe?
No.
Representative Howes?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Lane?
Yes.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Norton?
Yes.
Representative Paymer?
Yes.
Representative Pepin?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Thiessen?
Yes.
Representative Westrum?
No.
There being 11 ayes and 14 nays, the Paymer motion does not pass. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just really need to be on record for being quite concerned and disagreeing with what we're doing here. I guess I'm questioning whether it was the right thing to do to vote on doing the right thing, which is custom and usage and rules. And I don't understand why we're voting in a committee to do something that both custom and usage, as Representative Thiessen just pointed out, and rules says we're allowed to do. So I just want to be on record saying I very much object to the procedure here.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Paymer.
Mr. Chair, two items. Before, you know, I have an amendment. And like to offer it, and Mr. Chair, before, in case my amendment fails, I hope it doesn't, but if it does fail, I would also like to a roll call on the final vote on this matter. Mr. Chair, as the amendment's being passed out, it's very simple. It strikes the year 2012 and inserts the year 2014, and so essentially this would be putting this on the ballot in 2014. It also specifies that the purpose of this is to maximize the ability to get more public input to understand the constitutional amendment. And Mr. Chair, the reason why I'm offering this is I think it's pretty clear that public opinion is changing on this matter. I was in the body as Representative Pawlowski was, and I'm not sure on the other side, Representative Howes was here, and Representative Nornes was here because he came in when I did. But we had a very contentious debate in 1997 when the Defense of Marriage Act was on the House floor, and it was very difficult, if I can just historically bring people up to date. And I remember at that time also even my good friend and someone that, you know, I cared deeply about was Senator Paul Wellstone. And he actually voted for DOMA in Washington. And then when he wrote his book subsequently, he said that was the worst decision he ever made. It was the worst decision he ever made. And I remember that was a heart-wrenching debate that we had on the House floor, which I suspect we're going to repeat again if this bill passes. But I'm just the point I'm trying to make is that back then, I think if you looked at any of the polling data, you would have seen the numbers, you know, in support of a constitutional amendment, probably 70-80%. Today, it's flipped. What is it? Did I just see 60% of people do not support putting this constitutional amendment on the ballot? Mr. Chair, members, the public is changing. Young people are changing. People don't feel the same way that they did a short 10 or 15 years ago. So I the purpose of the amendment is just to give, I don't think that people suspected that this was going to happen. This would give us a couple of years to really have a frank public dialogue and discussion about whether this should go on the ballot, and I would ask for your support. And I'd ask for a roll call on this also.
Representative Paymer, you would like a roll call both on your amendment as well as the bill for both of them, right?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Yeah. All right,
thanks.
Just be clear.
Thanks.
Discussion to the A2 amendment. Representative Howes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if staff could first answer a question for me. if we were to accept the Paymar amendment, and if it went and it sat there in the Secretary of State's office, would the legislature in 2012 be able to pass a law and take that out of the Secretary of State's office before it ever reached a ballot?
Representative Howes, Mr. McCormick, I don't know. Do you?
Mr. Chairman, yes. Legislature can return to the issue that they've put on the ballot and remove it from the ballot, or amend the ballot question to be rephrased in a different manner. As long as we're acting prior to the election, we have the ability to revisit the issue.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then I would highly recommend a no vote. This is just a delay tactic.
Representative Gottwald? Other discussion? Other discussion to the A2 amendment? There is a roll call on the amendment. I would oppose the A2 amendment, and roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dean?
No.
Representative Doubt?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Banyan?
No.
Representative Benson?
Yes.
Representative Reinhart?
Yes.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Hoppe?
No.
Representative Howes?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Lane?
Yes.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Norton?
Yes.
Representative Paymar?
Yes.
Representative Pepin?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Thiessen?
Yes.
Representative Westrom?
No.
There being 11 ayes and 14 nays, the A2 amendment does not pass. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, Representative Payman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I could be I'm just tired and haven't shaved from last night and feel a little cranky, but I see what happened last night, and I guess, maybe there's enough blame to go around for all of us here. We don't need to revisit it, but, we only have a few days left in the legislative session. And we've got a $5 billion deficit, and we're still polarized here, and we need to get this thing resolved. And quite frankly, we're going to spend, probably a whole day because of the rules that you have. I suspect we'll spend a whole day debating this. I think you'd probably agree. So I just think that this is not the right use of our time. Obviously, I don't support the amendment, so I have a philosophical and political issue here also. But I just think also beyond that, just that the time spent on this, I think, is inappropriate. So given that, Mr. Chair, I would move that we lay the bill on the table.
Discussion.
And I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. The motion is to lay the bill on the table. I would oppose the motion. For the discussion, seeing none, the clerk will take the roll. I'm sorry.
No. Representative Dean?
Nope.
Representative Doubt?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Banyan?
No.
Representative Benson?
Yes.
Representative Reinhart?
Yes.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Hoppe?
No.
Representative Howes?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Lane?
Yes.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Norton?
Yes.
Representative Paymar?
Yes.
Representative Pepin?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Thiessen?
Yes.
Representative Westrom?
No. There being 11 ayes and 14 nays, the Paymar motion does not pass. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Thiessen.
Hey, can I ask a question, Representative Gottwell? So my understanding, and tell me if I'm correct, this went to civil law and to ways and means before this committee, is that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, that's correct.
And Representative Gottwell, when you had your press conference introducing this bill, I believe that you said it had to go to, your understanding was it was supposed to go to the Judiciary Committee as well, and we have the quotation from that if you want me to read it off to you. And so I was just wondering what your rationale for going to the Judiciary Committee as well was, because it had some money, I suppose, related to.
Representative Gottwell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, at the time the reporter asked that question, it was unclear, and I think it was pretty clear from my response to the reporter at the time that I was not certain, and I think I even indicated that in my response. I said I thought it meant it was supposed to go to Judiciary, but I wasn't sure, and I'm pretty sure that's almost exactly what I would have said to the reporter. So unless you've got a record that indicates otherwise, I think that was the nature of my response to the report.
And Mr. Chair?
Representative Thiessen.
Yeah, and why did you think it had to go to Judiciary?
Representative Gow.
Mr. Chair, at the time there were a number of us in the room, and I think somebody said they thought it might need to go to Judiciary. Somebody had whispered that in my ear, so I offered that.
Representative Gottwell, just a question. I believe that this has passed the House two times before. I believe that it has had the same two stops from my looking back in both times it has passed the House. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Thank you, Representative Gottwell. Representative Paymar.
Oh, is this discussion on the bill now, Mr. Chair?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, just a quick comment, and I would just urge people to vote against this bill. And I just took a quick look at the constitutional amendments that have been on the ballot since the founding of our great state. And you know, it's interesting when you look at them all, and I think I looked as closely as I possibly could, but just briefly, Mr. Chair, all of the amendments that I could see that dealt with human rights or civil rights, they all dealt with advancing civil rights and not taking civil rights away or not diminishing people's civil rights. For instance, in 1865, we had on the ballot to authorize African Americans the right to vote. It actually failed. In 1867, we tried again, and it failed. In 1868, it was tried one more time, and it finally succeeded. There wasn't another one that really dealt with civil rights until 1875, to authorize the legislature to grant women suffrage in school affairs. And then there was one in 1877 to authorize women to vote in local option elections. Also in 1898 to permit women to vote for and serve on library boards. But other than that, Mr. Chair, I can't see anything else where we actually, everything had to do with advancing, in my view, civil rights for people and oppressed people in the state of Minnesota. So I think, you know, to me, this is an extremely serious issue, and you know, to be codifying this in our state constitution, I think is just absolutely wrong. And you know, I'm just having PTSD thinking about the debate that we had in 1997 and what that's going to look like. It is going to be horrible. I just cannot see why you would want to put
not just the legislature, but the people of Minnesota through this. And then what's going to happen when this gets on the ballot? This is going to be one of the most divisive and polarizing issues that the state has faced. And why would we want to do this when we're trying to dig our way out of this recession, we're trying to grow jobs, get our economy back on track? Why we would want to put an issue like this on the ballot is beyond me. I just I know the votes didn't go my way on the amendments that I offered, but I just would wish and hope that you would look in your heart and also look in your have some vision and see what's going to happen here in the next couple days when this comes up, and think about what the state's going to be going through when this goes on the ballot in 2012. You have the option to say no, and I just would ask you to do that.
Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair and members, I would point out that unlike the other measures that Representative Paymar just cited, this is current state law. And we are offering this as a question to the voters of Minnesota to decide. We are not actually putting this amendment in the Constitution. We are putting it before the voters of Minnesota primarily because of legislative efforts and current court efforts to change the definition that is in current state law. That is the reason this is before us. I believe that Minnesotans are capable of a reasonable and respectful discussion about this very important issue. Representative Paymar, you're absolutely right. This is a very important issue. And I believe we can also do that as a legislature.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I said, I'm new to this committee, and I wasn't expecting this particular bill because the candidate for the Republican Party for governor made clear during the campaign that social issues would not be the focus of the party, that it would be jobs, 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 and the budget. But I remember all those years I spent teaching American history when we would get to the Civil War and the period just before the Civil War. One of the key moments was in 1858 when Abraham Lincoln ran against Stephen Douglas for the Senate for Illinois. And the issue had to do with popular sovereignty. The Congress had just passed the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which allowed the voters of Kansas to decide whether or not they should allow the institution of slavery, which had been excluded under the Louisiana Compromise of 1820 from being introduced into those two states as they were about to be admitted to the Union. And the question I always asked my students was, do you think it's proper for popular sovereignty to be used for people to determine whether other people should be enslaved or should be property of someone else? And I may be missing something, but it seems to me that popular sovereignty ought not to be used to determine a minority's rights, especially basic human rights, of which I would consider this to be one. I just mentioned that. My students generally said, well, it does seem kind of strange that the only people who got to vote on whether someone else was a slave or not were the people who could, in fact, own these other people. And since we're talking about a minority of the population here, I do think it peculiar that the majority, of which I'm a member of 35 years, should determine the fate of other people in this personal regard. I guess that's my only comment concerning the history of all this.
Thank you. Representative Breinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some of what I have to say has already been said, and nevertheless, I feel compelled to say it. We're called upon to make a judgment that will have decades of consequences for our community and our state. And I would just ask that we consider that this may not be the best use of our Constitution. Statute and constitutional amendment are laws of a totally different order. I know that Minnesota has a tradition of adding all types of provisions to the Constitution, but this is not an appropriate use of the constitutional amendment process. Limiting the rights of the minority should not be subjected to majority vote. Our founding fathers were not only concerned with the inherent tyranny of unlimited government, but also the potential tyranny of the majority. This amendment has great capacity to divide us. Please consider the good of the whole.
Thank you. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Gottwald argued that this is current law, current statute, and to protect our current law, we should put it in to a vote of the people to put it into our Constitution. And that seems like a pretty slippery slope of an argument about putting all sorts of things into our Constitution. And I think a particularly slippery slope because of the questionable nature of taking away a group of people's rights in our Constitution and the precedent that sets. And so I think the argument that this is current law and we need to protect current statute with the Constitution doesn't make any sense whatsoever, particularly in the case of removing civil rights even further. But the question I have in this committee is particularly concerned about whether or not we should put this in front of the people of Minnesota to vote, and I think we should not. I'm just imagining 16, 18 months from now, and this place that I love so much, the state, the Minnesota, the home I love, and the people I love in this state, and it just makes me feel physically ill to think about the conflict that we're going to see and the divisions we're going to see, the tearing apart of neighborhoods, of communities, of churches, of families, and to think that when we're facing unprecedented challenges in other areas of our state, that we would intentionally drop something in the laps of Minnesotans and say, we think it's time for us to tear ourselves apart by asking whether or not we need to take away rights in our constitutions. I don't see why we do that as a state, and as legislators, we take an oath to live up to our Constitution, and I think an important part of that is protecting the trust of the people in each other and in their government. And moving forward, the idea of something like this tearing the people of our state apart, especially as we're dealing with such great economic challenges, especially as when it's so clear that the debate on this issue is changing rapidly, it's totally the wrong time to put this up for a vote of the people. And the people today have been very respectful, and they're respecting the institution and the body of the legislature. But on the airwaves, in the streets, in our neighborhoods, I don't think the people will be disrespectful of listening to each other in the debate and trying to hear each other. And so I ask members to vote against this amendment and protect the integrity, the very fabric of our community as we sail through some really difficult waters. We should not be asking the people of our state to vote on this issue and ask the people of our state to vote for or against taking rights away from a minority of people in the state.
Thank you, Representative Knuth. Representative Lane.
Mr. Chair, on the basis of what Representative Paymar said about the amendments advancing human rights, not limiting them in the past, I would like to offer an oral amendment.
Representative Lane, state your oral amendment.
On line 1.19, change recognition to limitation. And on 1.20, between marriage and solely, add the words to be. so that it reads, limitation of marriage to be solely between one man and one woman.
Mr. McCormick, could you read that back for the committee, please?
Mr. Chair, the amendment is to delete on line 1.19 the word recognition and to insert the word limitation on line 1.20 to insert between the word marriage and the word solely the words to be. The resulting sentence would be limitation of marriage to be solely between one man and one woman.
And I would ask for a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Further discussion to the Lane oral amendment. Seeing no further, Representative Lane.
A few weeks ago, my Senator Barb Goodwin suggested amending this to be one union between one man and woman, one woman, no divorce. Her point was clear, if this is about the sanctity of marriage, if it's about traditional morality, then that would include no divorce. And no one voted for that. Clearly, this is not about the sanctity of marriage, but it is about discrimination. It is about limitation. Family policy belongs in our shared cultural discussion and work, not in the Constitution. And if we're to offer this, let's just make it clear that we are limiting.
Further discussion to the Lane oral amendment? Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair, I would encourage a no vote on the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dean?
No.
Representative Doubt?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
No.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bannion?
No.
Representative Benson?
Yes.
Representative Reinhart?
Yes.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Hoppe?
No.
Representative House?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Lane?
Yes.
Representative Lilly?
No.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative McNamara? Representative Murphy? Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Norton?
Yes.
Representative Paymar?
Pass.
Representative Pepin?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Thiessen?
Yes.
Representative Westrom?
No.
There being 8 ayes and 16 nays, the Lane Amendment does not pass. Further discussion? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd actually like to hear from Representative Gottwald a little bit about, because I haven't heard this bill at all, you know, really just to explain why you think we should enshrine discrimination in the Constitution.
Representative Gallo.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, I disagree with your definition of it as discrimination. I would point out again, this is current state law. This is current state law. And we have been reminded in some of the testimony, Representative Thiessen, that we've taken on this bill, that there don't appear to be any attempts or serious attempts to change it. I would disagree. There have actually been proposals in both the Senate and a new attempt, in fact, just this week in the House. With the bill introduction, as well as a court case in the Hennepin County District Court to try to change the definition of marriage in the state of Minnesota. What this bill does is put before the people of Minnesota what has already been acknowledged by virtually everybody who has testified or talked on this bill, a very important issue, one that's been around the state legislature for a long time, and puts it before the people to decide this issue. I have a great deal of faith in the people of Minnesota that they can have a very respectful and deliberative process about this, that they can discuss the relative merits of this. Like I said, everybody in this room, I think, would agree this is an important issue, and one that should not be decided by politicians or judges, but one that should be decided by the people. I would point out that we had the Land and Legacy Amendment put in our Constitution, a half-cent sales tax, to fund, among other things, arts and Minnesota Public Radio and other things like that. If that rose to the importance of a constitutional amendment, then I would think something as important as this, the definition of marriage, rises to that level as well. But above all, to put this question before Minnesotans, again, this is current state law. So discussing taking away rights from people, no, this is current state law. And the desire is simply to put before the people, should we be more permanently placing it where politicians and judges cannot redefine it, where only the people can redefine it. And so, Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, that's the nature of the bill.
Thank you. Thank Mr. You. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
So, well, thank you for your explanation, Representative Gottwald. That, I would disagree with the position that you're taking, and most importantly, I guess what I would say is, as we as legislators are voting on this, I think it's disingenuous for us to dodge our responsibility. We are not just putting this up for a vote of the people. If you vote for this provision, you're not just saying let's turn it over to the people. You're saying that this provision should be put in the Constitution. That's what all of you are voting for when you vote for this amendment. And I hope people aren't thinking that they can dodge their responsibility for that by deferring that notion. You're saying that we should enshrine different treatment for different people in our Constitution. To me, that's the definition of discrimination. So more to the point, perhaps, that's relevant now that we're entering 5 days from the end of this session. This is not the time, members, to be doing this. We will not see this on the ballot for 18, 19 months. We have 5 days left to balance a $5 billion budget deficit. The bills we passed yesterday went in the opposite direction. And you've heard me say this probably more times than you care to. But you are stuck in cement. You have made no effort whatsoever to compromise on a budget. Be that as it may, the point is we have a huge budget deficit that's going to take every minute of every day. Representative Paymar is exactly right. Every minute of every day we have left in this session to actually simply process the bills and reach an agreement with Governor Dayton, between the Republican majority, the Democratic minority, and Governor Dayton on how we resolve this budget deficit. That is our number one job. That's what we all said when we came into the session. This will not get on the ballot again for another 19 months. There's no reason that we should move forward here. And I think, and Mr. McCormick will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if we vote no today, it doesn't end the discussion. The bill stays in this committee, so it's not disappearing. We can come back next year. We can vote no today to stop this. We can come back again next year and have a fuller discussion when our budget issues are resolved, and take this up. And still, if you really think it's important that this gets on the ballot next year, you'll have plenty of time to do it. So your no vote today is not necessarily killing this bill. It's just saying, let's wait. Let's put off this decision until we actually get the work that we were elected to do this year, which is to get our budget done. And then we can come back next year and have a further discussion about this amendment if that is what people like. So I would strongly urge a no vote, both because this is the wrong thing to be doing now and ever, but particularly now.
Thank you. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hadn't planned on talking, and I'm a little tired, so hopefully I can put some thoughts together here that make sense. I just have to respond when I hear that this is law, and so because it's law, it should be put in the Constitution. And to me, this is a misuse of the Constitution. That's been addressed. The Constitution is to guarantee rights, and the rights of the minority in particular. Law can change, and it has. And in fact, it was just the other day, many of you changed a law that in the House that we put in place just 2 years ago. Because people's opinions change, culture changes. The Constitution is a some might call it sacred, but it's certainly an important document in our culture and should be treated with great respect. And I, for one, somebody brought up the Legacy Act, and I, for one, spoke on the floor about what a wrong-minded thing that was. And to me, having it come back in a hearing like this just tells me how wrong that was. The Constitution should not be misused, and I believe many states in this country have misused it to a degree that is causing them not even to be able to function. Look at California, for one, but there are others that are going down that path that I just think is abhorrent. I guess the other point I want to make is when we're bringing this type of issue forward and talking about it at the constitutional level, I think we're saying something that's detrimental to families. You're trying to define marriage, but you have families in this audience and in the state of Minnesota, and what are you doing when we're putting this type of issue up for a contentious and divisive vote and unnecessarily? What are you saying to the children and to the couples by doing this? I just think it's a horribly wrong message. I think it's the wrong thing to do, and really, first and foremost, it's a misuse of the Constitution. And, you know, Representative Gottwell, I know you have your personal and moral opinions, and I respect those. I just really think this is the wrong thing to force upon the citizens of Minnesota. We're here elected to understand the law and the use of the Constitution, and I think we should be rethinking this motion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Breiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gottwell, you said that you had confidence in the people of Minnesota that they could proceed in this type of a dialogue and discussion with respect, and I appreciate that. I have confidence in the people of Minnesota also, but I also know that issues that have the potential to appeal to bias and prejudice have the greatest capacity for arousing the elements on the edge that will manipulate. Well, and you, I know you're, so you're asking what I mean by that. Okay. This issue has been around for a decade, and it has been used in elections in a way that I consider not to embody the kind of respect that you have confidence that people will use. So what I would ask of you is, if this issue does come on the ballot, I think it behooves those who support it being on the ballot to be actively involved, to see that advocacy groups do not use this issue in a prejudicial way, in a way that arouses those, you know, the billboards I've seen, you know, long before I was in the legislature, I think that are designed to do nothing except, that aren't designed to promote healthy exchange of ideas. I have very grave concern about that aspect of a campaign in this direction, as opposed to a mediated discussion that really focuses on what we value. So, and I'll just let you respond to that, but that's a challenge I place on your
table. Representative Gottwell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Breiner, and I appreciate your comments more than you know. Representative Thiessen's comments, and I'm disappointed with them because he spoke to motive, and a couple others have here too, about why this is being brought forward. And I want to be clear that this isn't about my morals, my ethics. It is about...
Members of the audience, please withhold any disturbances. This is a hearing, Representative Gottwell.
Let me be clear that my motive in bringing forward this bill is to place this before Minnesotans, primarily because I think it is Minnesotans who should be discussing this and deciding it. And I'm a little puzzled why we're afraid to let Minnesotans decide this. There appears to be not undue concern. I think Representative Breinert's concerns are justified. But I would tell you that my goal is to be respectful, that I understand there are strong feelings on both sides of this issue, And for that reason, it is frequently appropriate to bring these kinds of issues in front of people, in front of Minnesotans to decide. They are not necessarily easy issues. We don't put only easy issues in front of Minnesotans. But they are important issues. And members, I just want to be very clear about that. My motivation is not discriminatory. It is not meant to apply any particular perspective. It is simply to bring this issue that is obviously of such concern to so many people before the people of Minnesota to decide. Let the people decide.
Thank you, Representative Gottwald. And I will renew my motion that Senate File 1308 be passed and sent to the General Register. There is a roll call requested. Clerk will take the roll.
You are damaging lives for political cover, and I will not get moved. You are damaging lives for political cover and political gains. I will not sit down. You are damaging lives. My children deserve better than you, and you know it.
The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dean.
Yes.
Representative Doubt.
Yes.
Representative Pawlowski.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Look my children in the eye and tell them.
Representative Banyan.
Yes.
I will not be moved.
Representative Benson.
No.
Representative Briner.
No.
This is not a hearing. You have issued the rule.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Hoppe?
I stand as witness to your demagoguery. I will not be moved.
Yes.
My children.
Representative House?
Yes.
Representative Kelly. Representative Kelly. Representative Knuth.
About saying my son cannot marry and that you can.
Representative Knuth.
No. There is nothing respectful.
Representative Lane.
About making that.
No. Representative Willie.
No.
Representative Mack.
Yes. You say the people of Minnesota should listen to
Representative
one
McNamara.
You refuse to listen to us. We are
Representative Murphy.
Testified.
No. Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Norton.
No.
Don't legislate for hate.
Representative Paymar.
No.
Representative Pepin.
Yes.
Representative Scott?
Yes.
Representative Thiessen?
No.
Representative Westrom?
Yes.
There being 13 ayes and 12 noes, the motion prevails. Pass.
The next.
What's that? Members, we have one more item on our agenda for today before we recess. Members, the calendar for Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. I will move the proposed calendar for Wednesday, May 18th, 2011, which you'll find in your packets. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Members, motion prevails. And members, we are in recess.